B-Pod Studios.
This is WWE Superstar Roman Reigns, and you are listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley, two great members of the Kowloon crew. Mike, remember, this is Jay Stu's yard, brother.
Help the Felger and Maz show help Christmas in the City. Christmas in the City is an all-volunteer organization that gives Christmas gifts to thousands of Boston's children that are currently homeless due to COVID-19. This year's mission has changed. Every dollar we raise will go to helping Christmas in the City feed families in need. To help support the local community, they will be purchasing meals from local restaurants and have them delivered to local shelters. Visit christmasinthecity.org for more information. The Felger and Maz auction is going to be running this week, December 14th to 18th. You can find that at 985thesportshub.com. You can bid on great items like a Rob Gronkowski signed football, a Johnny Busick signed 8x10, a Felger and Maz virtual show sit-in, and more. Help the Felger and Maz show and Christmas in the City make a difference for thousands of families this holiday season. And I haven't talked to anybody about this yet, but if you're interested in making a donation and getting a Zoom call or a phone call from me, send an email, wrestlecast985@gmail.com, wrestlecast985@gmail.com. If you want to make a donation and get some type of Zoom call, I'm not sure what the number is going to be because the idea just popped into my head on a pre-recorded podcast. But we can make a Zoom call happen if you are so inclined to make a donation. And I don't know what that amount is. We'll work out the details. But if you're interested in a Zoom call from me, and I don't know why you would be, but if you are and you want to make a donation to Christmas in the City, by all means, wrestlecast985@gmail.com. Mike Riley.
I'll do a recording for someone too, Jimmy, if they want. So throw mine in there too. There you go.
Okay, we'll work that out.
And by the way, one thing, Christmas in the City, I just want to touch on that. Jay Kennedy, fantastic guy. Rest in peace. Him and his wife, Sparky, did fantastic work for the organization, the founders of it. He just was succumbed to ALS earlier this year. And I know how much that organization, what the great work they've done. So please give what you can. Support the unbelievable cause that the Kennedy family started.
100% co-sign on that. Mike Riley, I need this. Mm-hmm. I need Bill Goldberg to win the Men's Royal Rumble this year and go on to WrestleMania to face Roman Reigns this year. I need it. I want it. I need the poster for it. I need to feel how much you and the internet hate me for wanting Bill Goldberg to win the Royal Rumble this year. I need this. I need this so badly.
I mean, thankfully, my bathroom's right over here. I can run up and go puke after hearing that. That is no, absolutely not. I mean, here's a guy. He had his Universal title run last year for a brief couple of months. And, you know, he falls at the WrestleMania there and just destroyed the Fiend at the Saudi Arabia show. No, I don't need Bill Goldberg. I mean, I have so many other better potential opponents for someone who is going to fight the Universal Champion or the WWE Champion at WrestleMania and to win the Royal Rumble to earn that spot there. And Bill Goldberg is not at the top of my list. Why do you need that, though? Like, are you really that invested in him?
I have become a Goldberg fan more and more this last run. And then looking back, like, so fans compare Goldberg to the Ultimate Warrior, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that's a comparison. I think Bill Goldberg meant more to WCW than the Warrior did to WWF.
Of course.
And by the way, the Warrior had the bigger win, I think, having it being
Hogan.
A WrestleMania win and a clean Hogan loss.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, at the stage, all that stuff. But Goldberg post Hogan, I think, did better than Warrior post Hogan.
Yeah, I mean, he was so Goldberg.
And in this run, I think this is why I'm invested in Bill Goldberg so much, mm-hmm. is because there's a feel of realism in a predetermined sport, right? And the reason why I say that is Bill Goldberg can go into any match And I don't know what the outcome is. I think I know, but I don't know. When he comes back and he does the ultimate 1 minute and 21 second win over Brock Lesnar, nobody saw that coming.
Yeah, but
right? Nobody saw that coming. And then he does the Rumble, and he's in the Rumble. He eliminates Brock Lesnar, and then The Undertaker gets him, right?
Right.
Didn't see either of those coming, but I didn't think Goldberg was going to win the Rumble there anyway. I don't think I did. Maybe I did. I'd have to go back and think about it. But then he's at WrestleMania, and I'm like, I think he's going to lose to Brock here, but I don't know. And then he comes back the next time around, and I still don't know. Is he going to beat The Undertaker? Is he going to beat Bray Wyatt? Is he going to, like, could he retain against Braun Strowman? I think he's losing to Roman Reigns. I feel good about saying that if he comes back, wins the Rumble, has a match with Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns wins because WWE wants that visual of Roman Reigns holding the title over right. Bill Goldberg. They want
right.
that.
Right.
But in any Bill Goldberg match, I don't know if he's going to win or if he's going to lose. And I love that feel as a fan where I don't know what's happening. I think I know, but I don't know.
So, I mean, years ago when he was in the WCW, the undefeated streak there, that has certainly turned the tide on that because he was the clear-cut winner every single time. And to your point of him not, you're not knowing, is he going to win here or whatnot. But here's my thing. I'd be okay if Bill Goldberg showed up at the Royal Rumble and were eliminated during the Royal Rumble match. I don't want him winning the Royal Rumble to get into the main event title of WrestleMania. He was squashed last year by Braun Strowman. He did squash The Fiend in Saudi Arabia. I just can think of so many, not so many, a few other better title matches for the championship without Bill Goldberg in there. So get it over with. If you're going to come to the Royal Rumble, that's it, Goldberg. But however, you know what I'd love to see? Goldberg versus Matt Riddle. That's what I would love to see. Matt Riddle, put his money where his mouth is, Jimmy. Put his money where his mouth is, okay? And do it. You could do it, Matt Riddle. That would be money for me. Give me Nothing. Riddle and Goldberg. So you're saying you want Goldberg to win the Royal Rumble. Would you want him to win the championship? You're uncertain about that, if he would win the championship.
Oh, I don't think he beats Roman Reigns. There's a chance he beats Drew McIntyre, but I don't think that would happen. There's a chance that, like, if Miz cashes in, I could see Goldberg beating. Like, I could see Goldberg having another short run with the title. I don't see it at the expense of Roman Reigns. I don't think I would see it at the expense of Drew McIntyre. Mm. I could see it at the expense of The Miz. I could see that. If The Miz were to cash in successfully. If AJ Styles knocks off Drew McIntyre, I could see that.
Sure.
But I don't see, like, I could see, if you're plotting out, Bill Goldberg has 2 years and 4 appearances in total, I think, left on his contract. I know it's been reported that it's
right.
2 appearances left. That's inaccurate. Bill Goldberg himself has said it's 2 years, 4 appearances.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, Goldberg saying that. So I have to take him at his word because Goldberg doesn't strike me as somebody who BS's anything.
Right.
So the 4 matches, right? I want to see Roman. I'd like to see Cena. I kind of want to see Edge. And I want to see McIntyre.
Spear.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think those are all matches that have buzz and have potential for draws.
See, I would
draw interest.
I'd also throw on Brock Lesnar, Brock and Goldberg again. Give me that again.
I don't think that they can top the match they had in Orlando at WrestleMania 33. And that's why I would say no to that.
Just two big names right there. And that'll be the third time. You had the Survivor Series. You had the WrestleMania. Now you do it again. 3 times.
But they already had it at 20. And I would say that they were both in better.
That was terrible at 20. It's just unforgotten, that match. It was awful.
Oh, I remember that. That was one of the most interesting things to happen at a WrestleMania.
With the crowd.
Everybody knows what's going on. And
earlier this year, I told everyone, go back and watch it because of the crowd controlling it there with Stone Cold. Not for the factor of the match being the quality, but yes, for everything, everyone furious at it. So, no, I want to be invested with the Goldberg match if he is going to be there. And if he is going to fight up a Brock Lesnar, I'd be invested because those two would give me all they can. for him and Roman Reigns, it's just, I'm sorry. I'm not in on this here. I mean, the storyline would make sense. There's your story. Storyline had
everyone drink. Yay.
Yeah, there you go. For the whole situation here, because last year, with the pandemic and, you know, looked like it, Roman and Goldberg, it was supposed to happen. Then Roman, got sick again. So I understand where that could totally, come into effect here, but I think it's pretty safe to say that Goldberg is only in the equation because of The Rock not being a part of WrestleMania.
So I have some reporting on this.
Go ahead, me too. What do you want?
Interesting.
Yes.
So why we're talking about this is Goldberg was on the WWE social media program, The Bump, and he teased a match with Roman Reigns.
Is it safe to assume that maybe there's still some unfinished business between you and Roman?
Oh, I would say that that is one of the most mild understatements that I have ever heard. He backed out on me at he backed out on me at WrestleMania. He stole my move, God knows how long ago, and he continues to perform it at subpar level.
And, you know, let's
be perfectly honest. You know, I'm the dude who delivers the spear, and I don't think that he understands what it's like until I deliver one to him. So Roman, it's coming and I'm coming for you. I may be old, I may be gray, but I'm still Goldberg.
Here's what I believe on the Goldberg situation. He's been told he'll be part of the Royal Rumble event. He hasn't been told if he's winning the Rumble match or if he's even going to be in the Rumble match. He's doing a program for WrestleMania season, but it might not include WrestleMania, which I find interesting. My belief is Bill Goldberg is going to be in a featured program. And I'm also of the belief that Goldberg knows that he's done, but for the money and the expectations that WWE has given him, they are realistic for him to be in a WWE program. And this is why I think it's Goldberg and Roman, because Heyman and Goldberg are close. And it's a match that has been a year plus in the making. I'm interested in your reporting on The Rock.
Yeah, okay. So pretty
before
much.
Before I get to mine, I'll let you
sure,
go yeah. with your information.
That's
and then
fine.
I'll tell you it's bogus, and then I'll tell you the real story.
Well, listen, we're both doing our job here, scraping the surface, see what we can do here. But from what I'm understanding, The Rock is not coming back to WrestleMania unless it's going to be a sellout, where I don't think we're going to have that, even if it were in the state of Florida, because all indications are that the original plan for California, that has not officially been announced yet, where LA is on the table for WrestleMania 37, but the governor of California out there has very strict rules, and they're probably going back to Tampa. Now, the WWE has a few things to go with here. They could push WrestleMania back a few weeks, where right now they're on the first weekend of April, okay? And from what we're being told here with the potential vaccine, as it has just it is going to be distributed this week to frontline workers and so forth, to the general public, it's probably not going to happen until maybe around that starting point of April through June. People like you and I, Jimmy, would get it and so forth. And that would definitely throw a wrench in the scenario there for WrestleMania and The Rock.
I'm an essential worker, Mike. I can get it whenever I want to.
If you can do it, then all the power to you. All right, fine. But The Rock is probably, he is not coming back unless it's a sellout. If it's 25% capacity, it ain't going to happen. And also his insurance there, we know the whole situation with his movies. They're not going to sign off on that unless it's going to be 100%. And The Rock has indicated in the past he would love to have that match with Roman Reigns. But from what I heard here is that he has to, they're going to want 100% capacity at the stadium for a Rock and potential Roman Reigns matchup or whatever it's going to be. But I can't see that happening. I don't see a full capacity for WrestleMania this year. I'm going to say 25 to 50% at the most. I know Florida's been very lenient on having things and so forth, but I just can't see it happening.
So I had heard something about The Rock being concerned that there's no fans there and you can't have the people's champion with no people.
Yep.
Right? Like, Cena did it. I don't think he necessarily wanted to do it, but they adapted on the fly because he had committed to it. But I think what you're saying about The Rock and there being no fans is an important piece to it. I'll tell you what I believe. I think there's a money issue with The Rock. And this is going to sound stupid when I say it. I don't think what I was told was the WWE can't afford The Rock.
That sounds right.
Which I'm like, what do you mean? Like they can afford to. It's their choice not to pay for The Rock, I think is the interpretation there. Because of the insurance stuff that you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, he's being taken away from movies. There's also an interesting detail that The Rock has left his house for one thing since March.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that one thing was. I don't remember. I was told way back when what it was.
He got COVID.
No, but this was he hadn't left his house.
Oh, okay.
And then he closed the deal with the XFL while he had COVID. And then he went out and did something. I don't know what it is. And the only reason why I know that is because he put it on his Instagram account that he was leaving the house for the first time.
Yeah.
And this was like September. So this was after the family got through COVID.
Mm-hmm. He's a great follow on Instagram too.
Oh yeah.
Fabulous.
I say this, and this is meant to be a non-political insulting comment and just something that I found really funny. Okay.
Yep.
So before you send the email to the boss being like, oh, you're being political on a wrestling podcast, stick it. Okay. So when The Rock did one of his pro Biden Harris videos, all of the comments underneath it were Trump 2020. They were all pro Trump things. And I found that funny.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've seen on a lot of other people's social medias too, where Hillary Clinton will tweet out something. It'll be Trump this. Trump will tweet out something and it'll be anti-Trump. It'll be pro-Biden or pro-Hillary or whatever it is.
God.
So that's the context of the joke. So don't get all sensitive about it, okay? It's not a political statement, okay? Yeah.
They got too much time in their hands.
It's just something I found funny was The Rock is trying to be pro one candidate and here come all the comments for the other candidate. It was funny to me. I'm sorry if it wasn't funny to you because you're humorless people.
Good job, Jimmy. I think that's it's a common trend there when someone puts a statement out and then you get the opposites. It's just like your classic Twitter trolls out there too. But yeah, good job for calling them out like that. And that is a funny thing. No harm on that. It's just an opinion, and Rock put his out and other people did too, but other people have other things better to do, obviously. Don't have anything better to do. Excuse me.
So
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Another legend showed up in the wrestling news media this week. It's of course Royal Rumble season and WrestleMania season. So here comes CM Punk.
Again,
CM Punk again, right? So do I think CM Punk is going to wrestle again? Yes, I do. Do I think CM Punk is going to be around for WrestleMania season this year? I have my doubts. That's not informed. It's just me speculating, but putting the pieces together from his past public comments, including this week, he did a podcast with Renee Paquette, John Moxley's wife, or Renee's husband is John Moxley, whatever.
The future mother of his child.
Essentially, they're having a daughter. God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
So Punk did the podcast with Renee, and long podcast, good podcast. He said, in short, he wants a ton of money and he wants an interesting story to come back to. But he said that he would take the interesting story to come back to over the money. So there's a thing here, right? And he detailed, he's like, if I go back to the WWE, well, I've worked with everybody there and there are some issues that have to be worked out. And then he mentioned AEW and he's like, I'd like to work with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. And those are friends of his. Mm-hmm. So I feel pretty strongly that this is borderline reporting, but I believe that Tony Khan offered CM Punk a very fair contract back in Chicago in 2019 at All Out.
Yep.
And I was at that. I was there that weekend. Now, I didn't see Tony Khan and CM Punk talk, but I feel pretty strongly in saying that there was a contract offer there and Punk turned it down. Or there wasn't, I'm trying to think of how like Punk, there was enough money. They didn't like the story.
Right.
There was something there that Punk said no to it. And I think what it might've been was he had the Fox deal in his back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they've gone back there, but I think that there's a sensitivity to Tony Khan and CM Punk right now. I know there's one with Cody and CM Punk.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a mutual respect.
No, I think that there's an issue there.
Oh,
I'm speculating here. I think that Punk negotiated with Tony Khan having the Fox deal in his back pocket and didn't tell Tony Khan that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think. I don't know that. That's just me guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I guess this is a long way of asking, Mike.
Yeah.
Is CM Punk still a game changer? And do you think he's going to be back in wrestling?
So here's the thing. Is he a game changer? I mean, we saw what Sting did on AEW, his debut. Sure, Sting had a longer career, has had a longer career than CM Punk. But if CM Punk were to show up just like Sting did, then absolutely the internet would explode. People would lose it. It would be awesome. But right now I am not investing any hope for CM Punk to get in there because when you do that, just like anything in life, you get your hopes up and it doesn't happen. Forget it. So if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, whatever. I'm very, not one-sided on it one way or another. But do I think he comes back? Now, you say the 2019 there in Chicago. See, I'm a year ahead of you. I thought he would debut the year before in Chicago there with that.
The Ring of Honor show that was a proof of concept to Tony Khan.
Exactly.
And then the Bucks and Omega and Cody, they all ran to Tony Khan when Ring of Honor was doing all the work for them.
Right.
Knowing all this and then, they left him at the altar.
They laid down the pavement. Yeah, exactly. That's where I thought it would have happened right there. And, hometown, Chicago makes sense. But do I think he returns? I'm going to say no. I can't. I mean, if there's one promotion that's going to get him, it's AEW. But right now, I am not putting my eggs in one basket for CM Punk. Just for the fact of him being out of the game for what, 6 years now? Is that what it is?
Sounds right. I mean, Backlund, different time, different era, but Bob Backlund was out like 10 years.
Right. And
from the time that he lost the title to the Sheik to when he came back and eventually won the title to Bret Hart.
Right. And he is a lot younger than Sting. I'm using that comparison from earlier. And now, Backlund too, a little younger than him at the time when he returned.
Backlund was 45.
When he beat Bret Hart, 1994. Yeah. Well, because he also came back the year before too. He was around in 93.
But same idea as Punk's younger than Backlund was, and what we see now is wrestlers into their 40s still having quality. I mean, AJ Styles is what, 42 now?
Yeah, he's a young 42. Yeah, he looks great. So yes, I don't think he's coming back. But however, if it is a one promotion, it's got to be AEW. He's never going to work for Vince McMahon again. No chance in hell. You can bank on that.
See, I don't think that. Here's why I don't think. I think he would work for Vince.
Oh, God.
I think the way that the food chain is, right, is I think it's Vince Bruce, right?
Yep.
Vince will do it for business. Bruce loves CM Punk.
Right.
Bruce was a big advocate of CM Punk. So if that's the top of your letterhead, Hunter has to deal.
Yep.
Stephanie has to deal. Now, whether there's the whole Bruce Stephanie thing that's still in existence,
mm-hmm.
who knows? But I think if it's good for business and it's a short-term deal, then yeah, CM Punk wrestles in WWE again. I think, and this is an idea that Justin Barrasso put in my head from a few months ago.
Yep.
A year from now, we could see CM Punk versus Okada or CM Punk versus Tanahashi.
Okay.
CM Punk main eventing Wrestle Kingdom. Now, is that his WrestleMania main event?
No.
Debatable, but it's a unique opponent, which is what Punk's looking for. It's a different style, and it's a hell of a good payday, right? Because Jericho proved that Jericho can go over and wrestle Kenny Omega in the Tokyo Dome and do a 5-star match and get paid off of the subscriptions from New Japan's World, which is their version of the WWE network.
Yeah.
So there's value there for New Japan investing money in CM Punk once international travel is allowed and we're in a better situation with the world.
Right, right. And he's a household name. And yeah, that would be, if the money's going to be thrown at him there for Japan, sure. You know, what you're saying there with the WWE, with Bruce Pritchard having the creativity mind there and being such a fan of CM Punk, then, you know, maybe he has a little bit of throwing his weight around on that there. But I just think that the grudge is still there. I mean, it's a personal thing with Vince from the wedding day.
It's business, Mike. Bret Hart, unless you believe Montreal was a work.
But hold on. But the other thing, though, with AEW, the fact that they're in the picture here now, he's got that leverage to work with Vince with the money aspect and say, well, listen, Khan's giving me more. I'm going to him. Otherwise, you're going to give me this. And I don't think Vince is going to be able to match that or will want to even match that.
So that's the key. Will want to. Does he want to match the money?
Yeah. Can he? Sure. Will he want to? No.
So WrestleMania season, a Saudi tour, Vince will match the money. If Vince wants you bad enough, he will match the money. It's just this last round. He didn't want Gallows and Anderson. He didn't want Mike and Maria. Because all this stuff, this all goes through, like, Vince McMahon's signature is still on all of this stuff.
Yeah. He's the guy. Does a stamp.
Right? Like, does he know the entire roster? Probably not. But I have to assume, like, Kyoto's gone. And Kyoto, if you've listened to ad-free shows, which is Conrad's podcast, Mike Kyoto does a mailbag question and answer. And Mike, I think I can get you a good rate too if you want to join up.
You're the man. Thank you.
We'll talk about this after the show because I actually did get a response to a question, a friend.
Appreciate it, James.
Friend of the program, we'll say.
Excellent. Thank you. Big Kyoto fan. Great guy too. Spent some time with him at the Hall of Fame party in New York. Wonderful guy.
Yeah, he's been entertaining. He just did a watch along, and now we're doing a plug for ad free shows, right? He did a watch along of I'm going to send this to Conrad and let him know that we plugged.
You should, yeah.
We plugged his thing,
yeah.
Or Evan, shout out Evan. Evan's awesome.
That a boy, Evan.
he did a watch along with the Hogan Rock match because he was the third man in the ring.
Oh yeah,
and that was this past Saturday morning for people who are in their top guys tier.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you can afford that one, Mike.
I don't care. I'll find a way.
Yeah, you're a little snake when it comes to that stuff. So now we're totally off the rails.
Yeah, it's okay. Punk. Yeah, CM Punk, you were talking about.
So
yeah.
I think for business purposes, Vince would write the check if he could be convinced that CM Punk was a game changer. But I think, like, if he goes to Bruce would say yes. I think if he goes to Hunter would say no.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of where it lies.
Right, and that's it. I think Triple H and Punk,
they never meshed well. Like, there was always this weird tension with the two of them.
Yes, exactly.
And it was obvious. It was, you know, if Hunter's not 6'4" and gassed to the gills, pushing 300 pounds, right?
Right, right.
Does Hunter get the spot that he does? Maybe, I don't know. But Punk is 6'2", and he's 215.
Yeah, he's a small guy compared to Triple H.
Well,
here's
what I can gauge this by, right?
Yep.
So when I saw Punk in Chicago, I'm 6'4", right?
He's 6'2", 218.
Yeah, he's not 6'2".
Oh.
That's his sports information height.
Mixed martial arts, they got 6'1", 170. If you want
I might go closer to 6'1", because there's no way he's He's not 6'4" because I'm 6'4".
Yeah.
He's no taller. There's 3 inches of difference between the top of his head and the top of my head. And we're both bald.
Yeah. Well, and he just
buzz cut.
And just like AJ Styles, he just turned 42.
So there you go.
So another thing to consider.
We're way off the rails.
It's fine. Just go back to CM Punk with the business thing. You're talking about the money.
Yeah, if they want to match it, they want to match it.
There you go.
So there's your CM Punk stuff.
Hey, listen, I mean, you know what? If WWE is concerned about potential ratings too, I mean, television is paying for everything right now. They're losing that gate money there. But if they want a real serious pop, if they can throw the dough at CM Punk and if Vince says, I want him, then you know that would be a huge, huge rating boost there for WWE. Huge.
There's a whole thing about there's a whole thing in my notes about Punk and his value and all that stuff, but I'll save that for another time.
Put it in the archives.
I can tie it into a different situation here. Because there's stuff that I want to do before our 60-minute time limit expires.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So Kenny Omega showed up on Impact and there's some WWE TLC talk. TLC is this coming Sunday that I want to talk about. I know you have some thoughts on Sting and Cody. So Mike, share with the world your thoughts on Sting and Cody.
I mean, you know what? This promo here with Sting this past week and pointing up to the rafters with Darby Allin, and you know, all indications are that's what's going to happen there. But you know, Cody Rhodes right there, I think this is the best scenario for him, where he goes on Twitter after, takes advantage of the Sting situation, where Sting said, you know, I'm not there for you, Cody. And of course, Cody goes right to Twitter. Jimmy, your weekly Cody bash, go ahead.
No, I'm good. I'm going to let you finish your thoughts.
Oh, okay. I think this is where you can now turn Cody Rhodes full heel. He is so much better as a heel. Turn his tail heel and go up against Sting. And you have the Arn Anderson factor there with his history with Sting too. And just get that fire going right there. I want a Cody heel bad guy to go up against this babyface in Sting, which everyone loves that he's back. Sting's not going heel. Let's just make that that's not going to happen. And if there's one guy that should be a bad guy, it's Cody Rhodes, because we've seen him as a bad guy before. Make it happen, AEW. They have been the best promotion out there. They're throwing everything against the wall to see if it sticks. And now is the time. This is the perfect situation for them to do that right here. Make Cody the top bad guy in the promotion.
Cody doesn't want to be a bad guy.
Well, you know what? Then he's an idiot.
Handle it.
Well, he's a moron. Cody
and Brandy Rhodes, they can't handle the backlash from being a villain, Mike. And that's a problem. So, like, I enjoy being a villain at times.
I know you do.
You know this.
Yes,
you know I have so much fun pushing people's buttons and getting heat for it, right?
Yeah.
But there are people who can't handle that in this world. There are people who get the little inch of criticism and being critical of them, and they can't handle it. Mm-hmm. And it's not meant for everybody. And Cody and Brandy Rhodes, they fit into this category where they can't handle the person who thinks they suck. They can't handle the person who doesn't like what they've written for creative. They're just people in this world who can't handle that type of criticism. And that's not saying that they're bad people. It's just like, if you're in wrestling and you want to draw money, I think you have to be able to work both sides of the ledger well and be able to handle it. Mm-hmm. But MJF is a great example in AEW of somebody who's like, yeah, throw a drink at me. That's fine, because I'm going to draw money. MJF is like the nicest person in the world. But MJF being a jerk on camera, he can handle it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he can absolutely take it and just like he feeds into it. He loves it because he knows that he's going to draw money at it. Like he's got a cameo profile for $500, right? His meet and greet at StarCast is like $200. So it's like, if you want to be insulted by MJF, then by all means, pay the $200 and you can get insulted by MJF.
Yeah. And people will pay for it. They will.
Oh yeah, absolutely. People will pay for it. I get it.
Yeah.
As far as where I think the Sting Cody thing is going, this is Cody doing his circus act, which by the way, isn't like, that's fine. He wants to align himself with Sting because he wanted to work with Sting, childhood thing. Like, I get it.
Right.
I get it. And they're going to tie in the whole story of Dusty and Sting, and they're going to do a fabulous job where you're going to be invested in whether it's Sting and Cody as a team that leads to Sting and Cody in a match.
Well, there you go.
I think that's what's going to happen is they're going to team up and then there's going to be a match.
And have him like Cody's mentor, maybe. I know Arn Anderson's already there.
Or they'll do like they did with Dustin and Cody.
Mm.
Cody will be like, look, I've always wanted to wrestle you. Can we have a match? Oh my God, can we have a match?
And that was the match of the year last year.
Yeah, can we wrestle each other? I know you're 61 and I'm 30, whatever, but can we have a match?
Yeah.
I just think of Cody being like, oh my God, I can wrestle Sting. Oh my God. Well, oh my God, I can actually wrestle Sting. And Tony Khan paid for it.
Right.
Can you believe this? And so Cody and Sting have this fabulous song and dance match, right? Mm-hmm. We're all emotionally invested. And I don't think that they do it where they're bleeding their guts out or bleeding.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But Sting and Cody have a match, right? And then Sting's like, yep, that's it. I'm retired. And Cody goes, no. I want to win the tag team titles with you.
Mm.
And then it's Cody and Sting against the Young Bucks or whatever, whoever the tag team champions at the time.
Right.
But I think that's the potential for it is Cody is now aligned with Sting because Darby Allin has a belt up in the rafters, which by the way, that's a match that doesn't really interest me.
Sting, Darby Allin.
I get the parallels, right? Yep. I get the parallels of the character. So
right.
it will appeal to a lot of people.
Yeah,
it won't appeal to me.
No, that's understandable. It's a teacher's zone. I just saw the promo this week and, you know, him putting his arm around Cody. And I'm like, all right, there you go. Turn on his ass right there, right now, and do it for everyone in the promotion because Sting is your.
I can't handle by cold ice.
See, I can't handle
people not liking me. Can't handle the boos.
Then get out of the business. Get out of it. I got people booing me all the time and all that stuff. You can't handle it. Get out of the kitchen. You know. See ya. Peace. Goodbye. You know.
Does this mean you're leaving Twitter?
I took the James Stewart advice where making Twitter a enjoyable fashion to mute people. I don't block, but I mute.
So have you muted more than 1,200 people?
No. That you've muted 1,200 people? Is that a true story? Holy
true story.
Cow. Are you kidding me? 1,200?
1,200, yeah. Awesome.
I'd say probably about at least 20.
Yeah.
But you also have a lot more followers than me, so let's.
Oh yeah, I have over 40,000, which is dumb. I don't know why 40,000 people care what I have to say, but God bless them for hitting that follow button.
Yeah, see, I have 14,000.
I enjoy muting because
I have no issue with that. I think that's a great thing.
I won't censor you from me, but I'll censor me from you.
And you know what? One of our former colleagues down the street, John Dennis, used to say that. I heard him one time in a podcast. He said, I don't mind if people take shots at me. I'm just going to hit that mute button there. They can keep swinging and blowing it into the wind, and I don't even hear them. They're just wasting their time on me. So whatever. I mean, they really have nothing else better to do than great.
CM Punk used to say it's like if you're at your kitchen and somebody's shouting at you from your kitchen window, you just shut your window and then they're gone.
Yeah,
exactly. It don't exist. So that's the mute button to me.
That's true.
Window.
Yeah.
I don't want you shouting in my kitchen window.
Yeah. And also the other thing too, people use Twitter as a little weapon where they think they're actually getting it after some people. Sure, I'll bet they are. But you know what? The fact that they have to do that behind their little keypad, they probably would never, ever say it to our face because they're cowards You're a Twitter coward.
This podcast is totally off the rails and unfocused, but whatever.
Yeah. Like, I don't care.
We're out of the ratings book, right? it's December. Smoke them if you got them, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Even though we did that all summer, right? We just played grab ass for 90 minutes.
Well,
So one person actually did do this. It was post UFC in Boston.
Yeah.
I was at Hurricane O'Reilly's, which is probably gone because.
Oh, it's still there.
Oh, it's still there? Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't been down in that area. Nobody else has either.
Right.
So I was in Hurricane O'Reilly's and somebody came up to me and said, "Here's a drink. I hate your show. Da 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 da."
Nice.
And I'm like, I appreciate you saying that. Like, you're the first person who's ever come up to my face and say, "I hate your show. I hate you." And you were nice enough to buy me a drink. I don't drink beer, but it was still, you know, I appreciate that. Like, that, I respect that.
In fact, they listen.
So he starts cutting a promo on me, and a bunch of his other friends come over, and they're like, "Hey, we're really sorry. Like, he's drunk, da da da." And I go, "No problem. Like, fine, no problem. He said his piece. He analog trolled me.
Yeah.
No issue. No issue. He was nice enough to buy me a drink. I don't drink beer, but he was nice enough to do it."
Sure.
And about 30 minutes later, he comes back over and he's sloshed. And he's looking for a fight.
Oh boy.
Right? And I'm like, I'm gonna walk away from this. I'm going home. But thank you for the drink. I'm sorry you don't like the show. I can't do anything for you. And the manager who I was friendly with, I haven't talked to him in a while, was like, "We'll kick him out if you want." I go, "No, I'm going home. I'm good." Mm-hmm. Let him enjoy his night. Hopefully he spends a lot of money, but I'm going home. I'm good.
Yeah.
You sure? No, I'm good. I'm good. Let him have his time. Hopefully he doesn't throw up in your bathroom, but let him have a good time. And, I'm good. He came up, he said his piece. He was looking for a fight the second time. I wasn't interested, so I'm going home.
Use your words.
So.
Yeah. Good job, Jimmy. Took the high road.
Story time with Jay Stu.
Took the high road. Well, there you go. That was my point of the Twitter situation there in Cody Road. So, yes.
You know who's really good at telling stories, Mike Riley?
Who's that?
Don Callis.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the Don Callis Kenny Omega promo on Impact, and I didn't watch it live. I watched the next day on YouTube, was really strong. Callis is a tremendous talker. And can sell the air conditioners to the Eskimos, as they say. and I thought that this was some of Kenny Omega's best work. Now, Kenny's not great at promos. He's better at the being the elite stuff, where it's like short little snippets. And obviously, Tony Khan agrees that Kenny Omega isn't a great promo because he made a deal with Impact.
Yep.
To get Don Callis to do his mic work for him, and it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I thought Kenny Omega arrogantly running through his resume was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's now a belt collector, he just won a belt in Mexico, or he retained a belt in Mexico. I think he's going to win the Impact title too. And Mike Riley, if you can tell me who the Impact champion is.
Oh, God, I have no idea right now.
And it's not your fault, by the way.
I don't watch
it. The last time I cared about who the Impact champion was, it was Eddie Edwards, and he lost it to Eric Young, and I don't know who Eric Young lost it to.
Right.
And Eric Young is selling his gear on eBay of the night he beat Eddie Edwards, which I almost want to hate by.
Is it Swan?
I like Eric Young.
Swan's the champion. Rich Swan.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah.
I actually like him. The problem is he couldn't handle WWE.
Mm.
And if you remember his WWE theme song, it's "Can you handle this? Handle this?" And no, Rich, you actually couldn't handle WWE. So I'm sorry that you couldn't. I might post produce that and stick that in there.
Well, he was an NXT guy.
He was an NXT. We socialized with him.
Yeah, at Evolve. And
maybe
right?
You did.
Was this at Evolve? At Evolve, right? At the Evolve show?
It wasn't Evolve. It was a different venue. It was a normal venue. It was
okay.
A venue where we it was Kowloon.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
We talked to him. His favorite wrestler was Rob Van Dam. We talked to him about some other stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe he weren't there for it.
No, I he was a nice guy. I do remember that. Yeah.
Fabulous guy. He couldn't handle WWF, and I think he had some other issue, and that's why they let him go. But
Right.
I like Rich Swann.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going to lose to Kenny Omega eventually, and because I guess Kenny Omega is going to main event Impact shows too.
So, you know what?
And I think, by the way, Mike, I think longer term, AEW is going to try to revamp You might see Kenny Omega as the NWA champion.
You might
see him as the Ring of Honor champion.
Right.
You might see him as the New Japan champion.
Yeah.
IWGP champion.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember Ultimo Dragon?
Yeah.
Do you remember how he walked out there with 9 belts? That might be where they're going with Kenny Omega. And by the way, one of those belts that Ultimo Dragon had was the WWF light heavyweight title when it was inactive on WWF and it had lineage to Dynamite Kid.
The Taka Michinoku.
No, it wasn't that one.
Oh, wasn't that one?
No, not that one. It was the original WWF light heavyweight title.
God. Oh, God. Terrible. Yeah, I mean, you know, and Kenny.
The reason why Eric Bischoff didn't exploit it was because he didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tanay, who was in charge of all that stuff, never brought it to his attention because he would have exploited it.
Right, right. Oh, God, that's funny. Yeah, I mean, so Kenny Omega here being in IWGP and, you know, NWA. I mean, they've already started to flirt with the NWA women's title on AEW, so it only makes sense for this to happen. Hold all the titles there and then just help out the other promotions, what they've done holding each other's hands here, right?
You know, I don't mind the interpromotional stuff, but at the end of the day, who's it helping the most?
Well, that's it. I think it's doomed to fail.
Like Triple H was asked on a Facebook Live or a conference call or something about, would you do interpromotional stuff? And he said, paraphrasing, if it helps the WWE.
Yes.
Which right. I understand that answer. He got a lot of heat for that answer. But if you look at when they've done cross promotional stuff, it's been to help them. Vince McMahon goes to Memphis and cuts promos on Jerry Lawler. Who does that help?
Yeah, Jerry Lawler.
It helps Jerry Lawler there, but on the bigger stage, it gets Jerry Lawler to do whatever Vince wants.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and
Jerry Lawler, the commentator, is what Vince wanted.
Right, and here's the other thing, too. Just reading up in that quote there with that pre-takeover media call you're talking about with Triple H, he also did say only if it's beneficial in the long run, okay? I think that's a key part here because with AEW's partnership with Impact and TNA and so forth, NWA, is that a long-run term? I don't think so. I think that might be a month or two at the most just to boost them up a little bit here because they don't have a crowd and just to work hand in hand and so forth. I can't see that going on at least another year to 2 years. No, maybe for the short term here, but definitely not long term. So for Triple H to have that comment, I think he's right.
So long term, who benefited from the ECW invasion of WWF in 1997? 1996 is when it started.
Yeah, I mean,
WWE did because Vince had them on the payroll.
Right. And they got
more recently that we found out that Paul Heyman was on the payroll and it wasn't just for $1,000. It was Jim Ross mistakenly said on one of his podcasts, oh, it was much more than $1,000. Are you kidding me?
Right.
And then he told Conrad, like, you should probably take that out. And Conrad's like, no, we're going to leave that in there.
Yeah.
But because JR was doing payroll. JR knows all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Jim Ross knows where the bodies are buried. He's a very dangerous man, as he likes to say in his Blue Chew ads. Or, you know, when I was listening to the Blue Chew ads, there's another plug for Conrad.
You're at free now, like, yeah.
Needs it, right?
Yep.
So to Hunter's point, long term, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Vince gave ECW a platform for their first pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, they show up at the Manhattan Center for Raw. They do a few matches. They plug their pay-per-view. They do a shot in Worcester where, you know, Jerry Lawler's in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
ECW does their pay-per-view. And then for their second pay-per-view, Jerry Lawler is actually wrestling on that pay-per-view. And they're doing cross promotion where, Jim Cornette is showing up in the ECW arena, right? Nobody sees that coming. That's the holy bleep moment.
Right, right, right.
So that's the short-term help. The long-term help is Paul Heyman's on the payroll. Paul Heyman is developing talent. Brakus, Al Snow, or he's guiding people. He's pointing people in the direction of the WWF.
Right.
So the Dudleys, Taz, they go to WWF. Mm-hmm. Rob Van Dam is being pushed because Rob Van Dam doesn't need a push, right?
No.
Van Dam is being pushed to go to WWF if he leaves. You know, Saturn left for WCW, Raven left for WCW. There are others who went against that, but the encouragement from Paul Heyman was, you're going to WWF.
Yep.
We're bringing people in to help develop them, get them in front of live people, and the most aggressive audience that we've seen is the ECW audience, the Philadelphia, the New York, all that stuff.
Right.
So that is your long-term WWF angle there.
Yep.
Is they're getting these developmental projects, or they're getting a place to work. Too Cold Scorpio goes to WWF, fails as Flash Funk, and then goes back to ECW and is being paid by WWF.
Yep.
Like that's
did very well after in the end. Yeah. And like Triple H saying there, it's going to be the long term situation. Like I said there. So if it's going to work out for them, they're going to figure out a way that they can make it happen. Absolutely. But I can't see that happening too long there with the Impact and the NWA and AEW. Just don't see it happening. They need AEW, obviously, more than those guys AEW needs those guys. Excuse me.
Mike, you got any matches you're looking forward to for tables, ladders, and chairs? Oh my.
Oh yeah. AJ Styles and Drew McIntyre.
Excellent. For the WWE Championship, it's a tables, ladders, and chairs match.
That's right. And, you know, I always love, okay, I don't want to pontificate him here, but I think anytime AJ Styles steps in the ring, it makes everyone better. Whoever he's in there with. And McIntyre, he's one of my candidates for Superstar of the Year. I think he's had a very good run this year. He's making that chase there. He's making that top tier run again for the Monday Night Raw division. But I think the most intriguing thing of it here is will we see the Miz cash in, right? I think that's the million-dollar question where I am just so intrigued by that. I could totally see this match being the last one of the night. And if that's the case, then don't be sure. That's where I think the Miz cashes in and gets whoever for who is the WWE champion, where I would highly think it'd have to be McIntyre to retain. So for a situation where Miz does that, that's going to be the case right there. And then you set up another feud going into Royal Rumble and maybe Miz be the champion going all the way to WrestleMania. Give me that. That's what I would love right there. That's the match I'm most looking forward to.
So I love the fact that it's AJ Styles and it's not Braun Strowman, because this match was going to be Braun Strowman, but Braun Strowman's hurt.
Yep.
So nice. I think that is, as Bruce Pritchard would say, a above star placement, above talent replacement.
Yep.
With AJ Styles subbing in for Braun Strowman there.
Yep.
AJ can do everything. I love AJ. I probably underappreciate AJ Styles. But him and Drew McIntyre are going to have a great match. They have all the plunder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a Miz cash in, and I'm almost wondering if the Miz cash in is going to be a lost cash in.
Well, why do you say that?
It's just a vibe, right? Because he's got the TV show. He's already done it once.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a vibe. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope that they're just waiting for Miz to cash in when there's fans.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually gets... There's an interesting... a friend sent me a text and it was like, WWE really doesn't want fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see the lie in that message. I don't see that being incorrect, because for years, the WWE has told us the story.
Yep.
And then the last few years, the fans have altered what WWE actually wants the story to be.
Right. And without the audience.
The Thunderdome,
mm-hmm.
they can have people in the background. They can do all sorts of fun video stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they can control the cheers.
Exactly. They can
control the boos.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they want to do.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, no, and they're doing it right now. Look at everything. We're able to hear all these the talking points on the microphone in the ring, where you're not going to get that, even if you're, especially if you're in the audience. So it's so much. It's a theater. That's really what it is. It's not an arena. They're in a theater, a studio. That's what we have here.
And studio wrestling.
That's
studio wrestling.
And they've made it in a little arena right there. So. Yeah, it's really interesting.
They're in the Tampa, they're in the Tampa Rays.
Yep.
Baseball stadium now until at least April.
Oh yeah, exactly. And
then they got to find a new home.
Well, maybe they'll be going outdoors, in the nice weather. So you go to the, Buccaneers stadium, get outside and maybe have a capacity. But yeah, that I'm really looking forward to that match right there with the McIntyre, AJ Styles. How about you? What are you looking forward to?
Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love this program. I love good this match. Program when they did it years ago in the middle of the Festival of Friendship.
Yep.
But the Roman character is the most important thing. We've harped on it. I think the Roman character is great. I think his interplay with Heyman. I think the Kevin Owens, Paul Heyman stuff that was on Talking Smack a few weeks ago was great.
Yep.
And Kevin Owens, ladder match specialist. I know he lost to Balor. I know he's lost. He lost in Dallas. He lost the IC title in a six-way ladder match against. It was Miz. It was Sami Zayn. It was Stardust. Mm-hmm. It was Dolph Ziggler. It was Sin Cara, and of course Zack Ryder.
Yep.
Won that match. And yep. You're laughing. You're laughing because you know what I'm doing, right?
But you're looking at your card there. Yeah. With the picture of everyone right on there. I knew exactly what you're doing. Yep.
You're laughing because I'm looking at the poster to my right, and I'm reading off the names on that match.
Look at me when you're talking to me, boy.
Yeah. You like that I made that the promo last week, right, for the Twitter?
Yeah, I'm giving it right back to you, jabroni.
Hey, good for you. Yes. But I don't see Kevin Owens winning the Universal Championship, but I do see a really good match. I see a really good match.
Yep.
And part of it, we haven't seen a lot of, at least there are only two occasions that I can... No, actually, that's not true. I feel like... No, I don't actually feel that way. I just think that Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens are going to have a great match, right? They're going to use all the toys in the same way that McIntyre and AJ are.
Mm-hmm.
I think one will open the show and the other will close it.
Mm. Okay.
And I think that... I actually think that AJ... Well, you know what? I don't think either titles are switching.
Well, well, here's another scenario for you, too. I read someone's proposal on this. What if Jey Uso costs Roman Reigns the title at TLC?
Too soon.
Okay.
Too soon for it.
But then that would set up a match between those two at Royal Rumble, or then you have to get Roman to win the Rumble. Yeah, you could have him win the Royal Rumble right there. Get back in the title picture.
So our friend Elliot from Boston, he wants Jey Uso to win the Royal Rumble.
Wow, that would be
tremendous.
Yeah, I can't see it happening, though.
Because now you've got a scenario, Mike, where you have, this is 1989 Starrcade. WCW did this round-robin tournament during their Starrcade. Mm-hmm. Pay-per-view was Future Shock, and they had four tag teams, four singles. It was Ric Flair, who was the world champion. It was Sting. It was Muda. And it was Lex Luger as the four singles guys.
Okay.
So Sting, in what became the last match, pins Ric Flair on an inside cradle, wins the match, wins the tournament. Sting was a member of the Four Horsemen at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Sting, because he's pinned Ric Flair, is the number one challenger to Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
But Horsemen rules are Flair is the champion. We protect Ric Flair at all costs.
Right.
So now Sting has violated that. Mm-hmm. So you could play into, well, you're part of the family, so you're not challenging for this. And they could have a playoff of that, even though that just happened. But that part of that story was to get the Usos to bend the knee to Roman and declare Roman the tribal chief head of it.
Okay,
but now you would have a situation where Jey Uso wins the Rumble, and he's now guaranteed a title match, and you could have a playoff there.
Sure. if that's going to be the case, if he does win. But I don't know. I just thought I like that scenario of him potentially turning, costing Roman the title. But then to what Elliot said there with Jey Uso winning the Royal Rumble, if that's not the case, then I think you got to put Roman back in that title picture and have him win the Royal Rumble. And you know what? Everybody would win because he would eliminate Goldberg, and that's it of Goldberg. So, yeah.
I want Goldberg to come out at number 30 and clear out 16 people from the ring and win the Rumble.
Or why don't you have him be number one like Brock Lesnar last year and eliminate the 15 and see if he can be the true warrior? Put your money where your mouth is, Goldberg.
I'd love to see Goldberg be number one and just spear everybody, but you know.
He won't.
That's fine. Two other matches that I'm kind of interested that I just want to do real quick here.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up. New Day and Hurt Business in a ladder match. Chef's kiss. That'll be a great match. And I think that they're setting up Lana and Oscar. Yeah, well, you know, trying to be different. Trying to throw a new pitch.
I like that.
I probably stole it from somebody on Twitter.
Oh, it's cute.
Women's Tag Team Championship match, right? You're going to laugh and be like, why do I care about this match? Oh, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler against Asuka and Lana, right? Interested in the interplay between Asuka and Shayna Baszler in a bigger platform, right? More time, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tables match. So you know what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen.
Let's go.
Lana is going to accidentally push Nia Jax through a table, and Asuka and Lana are going to be the tag champs.
Okay.
And it's going to be a total fluke. There's going to be this great interplay between Asuka, Shayna, and Nia Jax. And then Lana is essentially going to, like, finger poke of doom Nia Jax through a table accidentally. Yeah. And they're going to be the new tag team champions.
It only makes sense for Lana to be in that situation here because everything has fallen into place in her favor. So, yeah, sure, that would totally make sense. Just one more thing, too, for another match. Sasha Banks and Carmella.
Oh, this will be good.
And, you know, here I am again. I'm going with my interference here. I wouldn't be surprised.
Hey, Vince Russo, you and your interference.
I wouldn't be surprised if Bianca Belair interferes and it's okay, so you're just turning on the too soon stuff here. I'm just throwing
that's
that
your
scenario.
WrestleMania women's championship match.
Well, then fine. Bianca Belair goes in, costs Sasha, and turns on her right there, makes it happen, or gets up against her, and that builds up a feud.
Did
or
tribute to the troops, Mike?
Well, I know the tag team situation, yes. Yeah,
that's foreshadowing.
You did talk about that last week.
That is what we call storytelling foreshadowing, Mike.
Right, right. But I think, you know, you could get her in there, just, I don't know, whatever, somehow. But just don't be surprised. We'll say. It's going to be good. TLC next week. Good way to close out the year.
Yeah, it'll be a good show. Speaking of TLCs,
There you go. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, we're getting there. Don't worry. I transition at a mediocre rate. Yep. 5 years ago, TLC 2015 was in Boston. It is one of my favorite pay-per-view experiences of all time because I was sitting front row center WWF family section, right? Like you can't top that as far as a seating arrangement. And thank you to the people at WWE who took care of me on that one. But the show was actually really good. And Arn Anderson did a podcast with Conrad, and you know that's the third time I've shilled for them.
That was also ad-free shows? You're kidding me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm shocked. Oh, you don't say.
So the show was headlined by Sheamus. Yes, that Sheamus. Yeah, yeah. Retaining the WWE Championship by beating Roman Reigns. But the real story was the Roman Reigns beatdown of everybody post-match. It was the League of Nations and Triple H. Mm-hmm. And he wore out Triple H with a chair. I think he hit him like 7 times and Superman punched him and all that stuff. And it's audible. I actually posted the video. You hear Triple H yell, hit me again, hit me again. Like Triple H is egging him on, right?
Yep. Yep.
That Boston crowd booed Sheamus as he's climbing the ladder to retain.
Yep.
And they cheered Roman during that entire beatdown. Roman tried to powerbomb Hunter through a table. It didn't break. So Roman goes to another table and drops an elbow on him. And the crowd is just going nuts for Roman Reigns. And then the next night, he wins the title in Philadelphia from Sheamus. I think it was a career versus title situation. But that TLC show, really strong. Charlotte beat Paige. Ric Flair running around as a manager. He and I have the video somewhere. I couldn't find it this morning. Mm-hmm. Ric Flair and Charlotte pointing at me and saying, "Shut up, fat boy." That is a bucket list item for me that I didn't know was on my bucket list, right?
Yeah.
Tremendous. Yeah. Dean Ambrose beat Kevin Owens for the Intercontinental Championship.
Good match.
So if you watch the, it was at the time, it was the best video I've ever taken of a wrestling show because I got the finish and the celebration and everything on it.
Yep.
When Ambrose wins the title, he does a crowd dive, mm-hmm. right? And he yep. starts cheering. He starts celebrating with fans probably about 5 or 6 seats down from where Jared Karabas and I were sitting.
Mm-hmm.
There are 2 thumbs down if you look in the corner of the screen, in one of the upper corners of the screen.
Give us the time of it so we can go into the network. Do you have the time?
That is, I don't have a time cue.
Well, you know, come on. Give us the exact time and then report it next week.
No.
Well, we want to see the thumbs.
Well, go watch the friggin' match.
I did see it. I watched it yesterday.
Watch the thumbs down in the background and know that that's Kevin Owens' dad.
Yeah, and he took a picture of you, too.
Yes, you follow my Twitter account. Thank you.
No, you told me that. I was with you that night.
Oh,
well,
okay.
not sitting with you, but yeah.
No,
yeah,
you told me after. I wouldn't give you that privilege.
No, that's fine. I'd rather not sit with you anyways, but go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Good, because I don't want to sit with you either.
Good, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
But that was good. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Goodbye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.